Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, that's good. It's preview show number 4. And just by pure random chance, the songs that we are doing this episode, this is inadvertently the horniest episode of all time for what might be the horniest Eurovision that we've had in ages. So, I don't know. Now for some real baby-making music.
Oh, Pointo, what are you...
Play that theme music.
And welcome to another seductive episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Podcast from America, the country that's an icon, a legend, and is the moment. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. Honestly, the rundown for this week is way less seductive and more, I'm going to be kind and say, assertive. Very assertive.
I mean, it depends on what you're into, and I certainly don't judge.
Look, I'm the one who walked into Eurovision. I'm asking for it, and basically everyone else is, too. You are being asked to be imposed upon by a milkshake man and someone who is serving, and Austria? I don't know. Anyway, Sam, hit us with the socials. We got to go.
All right. You can find us on all the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA. That's our handle on just about everything. Or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can check out our merchandise on our Redbubble page or support us with a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account. That's Ko-fi. Or a sustained monthly donation on Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. But Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. And we got a guest this week. How great is that? Surprise, surprise, we got a guest. And it's a familiar voice, a friend of the show, a friend of ours, amazing human being, and just full of stories and experiences that I don't think anybody else in the Eurovision world can ever really duplicate. But let's just hear directly from her. It's Lisa Jane Lewis. How you doing, girl?
Lisa Jane Lewis!
Hi. Yeah, I'm great. Hi. It's so nice to be back on here with 12 Points from America. We keep joking. I'm going to write a book that's called Eurovision Made Me Do It. Between us and our little group, we're like, we can each have a chapter. I'm like, I'm going to need more than one chapter, people. I'm going to need like half a book. I have some crazy, I don't quite know how it happened. Like, I don't really know how I got to this point. It feels like literally 10 minutes ago when you, Samantha Ross, Eurovision Queen original,
what?
Took me into my first ever Eurovision rehearsal, and it was Calliope on stage in Stockholm. Oh. And I was the newbie and I didn't know what I was doing and didn't know anyone. And I can't believe that's 9 years ago. And yeah, you were my introduction to the world of being in rehearsals at Eurovision.
And now,
who knows what it is I do.
And yet you still stuck with it. So, I mean, more power to you. I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness. But like, yes.
Oh, so that was your first time? You seemed so seasoned when I met you.
Do you know, everyone says that. And everyone's like, oh, you've been doing this for like years and years and years, weren't you? Even when I was in Stockholm, I remember Deben from WooBlog saying, oh, do you remember when we were in Vienna? And I was like, I wasn't in Vienna. This is my first year. Yeah.
But you have just cannonballed into the Eurovision experience, and you probably have racked up a list of qualifications and experiences that I don't think anybody else in our cadre could ever really think of. You are now like basically a manager of one former Eurovision act. You are friends of many, many others. You were behind the scenes doing our art arrangement. I don't even know what your official title was for Bambi Thug's music video. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, how did you end up there and what was that experience like and how much goo was involved?
like literally an entire bathtub full of goo, as you saw in the video. I was the queen of the blue goo that day because we used it in the bath. And we used it in the, you know, the scene where she's having like where they're having the like picnic thing with the cake and everything. Mm-hmm. There's like blue goo in the glasses there as well. We have it in the jug. Honestly, that stuff was, I think I was like cleaning it off my skin for like, I think I was probably still cleaning it off my skin when we were in Malmö. Aww. So yeah, it got everywhere. And it was crazy. It was this like powder stuff. So we filled the bath with water and then you like added this like powder stuff and they had to like mix it with literally like witchcraft. I mean, the video did what it said on the tin. It's literally like witchcraft with this like massive stick, and now I'm like leaning over the bath while like they're filming another scene, and then we're setting. It was crazy. It was a crazy day. We did it all in one day, which is just
that's
insane.
Ridiculous
that we managed to do that. But we started I know. We started really in the early in the morning. I think we were on set at about 8:30 or so, and at a mansion house in Bedford, just outside Bedford, just north of London. And we were still there at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, I think, is when we filmed. The very last scenes were the last scenes in the video where Bambi's being chased by, people say the monster, but his name was Luke. So Bambi's being chased by.
He has a name.
In the like fog and the. He has a name. He's called Luke. He's a student at university in London and also an actor and dancer as well. But his name really is Luke. It's very strange being on the other side of it. It's very, very strange. You asked how I got involved in it. I had gotten to really privileged to be on the selection panel last year with RTE and working to find and source the acts that would become the national final Eurosong last year. Bambi, of course, one of them that I think a number of us had like championed forever. And I had reached out to Bambi beforehand and just kind of said hi and said who I was. And we had just started talking. We just sort of started, you know how it is. Sometimes just click with people. So we just kind of started chatting. And then when they won in Ireland, I went over to Ireland for Eurosong for the final. I was sat in the audience with Bambi's mum, which was really sweet, mum and sister. It was a lovely weekend in Dublin. From there, just kind of carried on the conversation and said, look, I'd love to be involved in more of the journey. You know, I here's what I can do. I can kind of turn my hand to anything you need. So they asked, if I would like to be involved in the music video. That was the first step. We were talking about being on the delegation and working with Sergio, who did the creative direction on stage in Malmo as well. Mm-hmm. And he had been the assistant director on the video. That's how he'd kind of become part of the Bambi Thug family. In the end, I ended up not being part of the delegation because we ran out of badges, but I knew I was going to be there anyway. So I was kind of adjacent to the delegation, took Bambi to hospital. I think most people know that now that Bambi went to hospital, that was me that went and got them out of the hotel, took them to hospital, spent the afternoon in the ENT specialist in Lund. You know, Eurovision made me do it. This is all the crazy stuff that I don't know why is me. Why does all this stuff land on me?
Well,
I love it.
And then I think a lot of people don't even realize that not only are you, doing all this incredible stuff behind the scenes in terms of, the production and being friends with the delegation, you actually decided to take the step this year and put your name forward as a auditioner through the San Marinese process. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have my own little artist project on the side. I've been writing music, writing songs for a while. And I'm sort of part of the DWB family, which a lot of people will know some of the songs that have come out of DWB. Probably the most well-known from our little stable is Destiny's song. What's it called? I've forgotten now.
Shimmycast? Or all of my, Jimmycast, All of My Love, and Not My Soul. Yeah. Which are we, what era, what Destiny era are we talking about?
Jimmycast. Yeah, Jimmycast came out of our stable, as did a lot of others. Cleopatra, a number of different songs have come out of the DWB network, which I'm now really, really thrilled to be a little sort of adjacent part of that extended family there, which is lovely. I decided I would just have a go. It wasn't like a long-term plan. It was just a case of like, we put my EP out last August that came out. And in the run up to that, because obviously the EP came out in August, but we'd finished it back in like June, I think. It was just going through final like mastering and, a few little minor bits of recording left to do. And so we were just kind of talking about what was next and what songs we had in the bank and what we could do with them. And I sort of said, well, we've got Racing Driver, as it's called. I was like, we've got Racing Driver. I'm like, I think we could make that 3 minutes and just kind of have a go for San Marino because it's a wild card entry at Eurovision. You can be from anywhere. And San Marino, as anyone who does know me knows, is not an unfamiliar country to me at Eurovision. I very often have been the only person standing in the arena with a San Marinese flag wrapped around my neck. So I was like, oh, come on, why not? For a penny, in for a pound. And I had, funnily enough, last year, back in July, I had spoken to Jack Marigo, who's the lead singer of The Rumples, who people might remember, they came second this year. And I had gotten to know them just through being around the Italian music world. We've got sort of some mutual friends. So I had reached out to Jack and said, hey, do you want to have a chat? I think you should do Una Voce per San Marino. And he was like, we sort of have talked about it because they're friends with Pete Jacks as well. Mm. So that's kind of our common friend, or a friend of a friend, really. And they were like, yeah, we've talked about it, but none of us really know anything about it. And I was like, well, it can help you there. So I really had spoken already with Jack and suggested that they do it. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should do it as well. Why not? Kind of thing. And also my other friends, Drama Love, who again got to the semi-final this year. I'm working with them now as well. Like, I don't know, there's quite a lot of acts in Una Voce per San Marino this year that I've had a little bit of a hand in. So I'm just planning to take over San Marino, really. That's the long-term plan. So yeah, no, I did it. Went and did the casting Academia round back in January. Didn't get through to semi-final. I actually genuinely don't mind because I consider myself the winner of Una Voce per San Marino because I won the top prize, which is the band Drama Love. I'm now working with them. Like, it's unbelievable how I have won people along the way. I'm so thrilled. So I don't mind that I didn't get it through. I did it for fun. I might do it again. Maybe not next year. I don't know. We'll see. Depends if I've got a song. But my song's coming out on the 1st of May, so I'm just going to plug that. It'll be out on Spotify. You can have a listen.
Fabulous.
To it. And see whether you think it should be me instead of Gabri Ponte.
And you don't use your name, Lisa Jane Lewis. You have a nom de stage that you use. Is that right? Yeah, feel free to plug it.
I do have a nom de stage. Yes. Yeah. So my artist name is Lady Bird, which is a name that Slavko gave me many years ago.
How does Slavko keep coming up? So I knew
when I started on the artist project.
Slavko is just,
he's omnipresent.
He's wonderful. All right.
Yeah, no, he gave me my name, Lady Bird, way, way back. So I decided I would use that as my artist name.
All right. Well, we have a bunch of songs that we need to plow through. And I know that we can keep talking to you about all these stories all day. And again, you do need to write that book one of these days. And yeah, I'd be happy to help with the foreword, I suppose. But in the meantime, between now and that book coming out, we have got 6 songs on today's roster. Let's do a little bit of a preview. We've got Australia, Lithuania, Cyprus, Malta, Switzerland, and Austria. I have a feeling it's going to be a hell of an episode. Thank you at home for listening. And let us know what you think. Again, you know how to reach us on socials and just email. But let's dive right in. I hope everybody's brought their lactate or whatever their local, dairy product prep of choice is. But we're going to go take a visit with the Milkshake Man. Here's Australia.
You can call me the Milkshake Man. I want to shake up all the milk I can. They know my name all across the land. I can tell you want to taste of the Milkshake Man. I can tell
you. Okay, that's our first song of the episode, Australia. It's Gojo with Milkshake Man. His real name is Marty Zamboto. He is originally from a remote off-grid estate in Western Australia, way the heck out there.
Christ.
I know. He got his start on social media. He's got a huge following on TikTok. The song was co-written by the band Shepherd, who took part in the national final back in 2019. For our American audiences, best known for their hit Geronimo.
That's right. That's right.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Being generous at the word hit, but I'm like, I know this band.
Okay. Yeah, they had a moderate hit over on this side of the world.
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to be song number one. This is going to be opening up semifinal 2, as well as opening up our episode today. Lisa Jane, as our honored guest, we are going to throw you into the lactosey pool of milkshake. What do you think of this one?
Yeah. So this is an interesting list of songs that we've got just overall for this episode. There are a couple on this list that are like, they fall in my category that is basically headed by songs I never want to hear again from May the 18th, 2025, until the Lord does come again and it is the apocalypse. This is very firmly in that
group. Wow.
I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. I guess I, to be fair, and I will always try to find a good and try to find something. He does have a good voice. He can sing, seemingly. I mean, I don't think we've seen him singing live, but at least as far as studio goes, he can deliver it well. So I want to see whether he can sing it live. Always like to know that a singer can actually do the business live. Seemingly, I feel like he can. I've seen him sing other things before. So I'll give him that. And that's that. I don't like the direction of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. And I know that, like, people will just call me like a pearl clutcher or like a prude or this, that and the other. I'm like, I just don't want this trajectory for Eurovision, because I feel like if this had been where Eurovision was when I was a kid, my parents wouldn't have let me watch it, and therefore I wouldn't have watched it now. And I kind of feel that a little bit for family audiences. Like, I don't mind double entendre and a bit of like sexual referencing. I don't mind. I'm not a pearl clutcher, but I just am worried that this kind of trajectory, this much in one go, all just kind of out there. And it, you know, it's been, last year was kind of a little bit the same. I'm like, I don't really want that, because I want children to be able to access Eurovision without parents saying, this is not for children, you can't watch it. There you go. That's my Mary Whitehouse take on Eurovision this year. I don't like it. Thanks, Australia. Could we have Voyager back?
Derek, what say you?
I love that we're starting with this song, because I have to be the contrarian who says, I love this song.
Finally.
How is it Derek every time?
Because I'm just out of sync with society, and it's a problem.
Wow. I'm a your Joker bro. Moment.
Yeah. Oh, you mean I'm going to produce a really crappy musical sequel?
That's it.
So I've talked about this a couple times before. We have a handful of what I would call mundane songs. And by that, I mean what they're singing about is relatively mundane. So we have going out on a boat and going to a sauna. And kind of the problem I have with those songs, and I'll talk more about that later, but is it kind of is exactly what it says on the tin. Like, this is a song about going for a boat ride, and that's exactly what it is. This is a song about going to a sauna, and it's exactly what it is. There's no subtext at all. It's just text. And here's a song that's all subtext, and it's unbelievably horny. And I get where Lisa Jane is coming from in terms of, like, this is not for children. But at the same time, I'm like, I kind of want there to be a mix of songs that appeal to all sorts of demographics. And I do appreciate it when a more adult song is sent. If it's dealing with mature themes about, you know, relationships or loss or horniness, what have you. I don't mind that. And I it's kind of refreshing in a way. I remember when Eat Your Salad came out, and that song just opens with a punch to the face. And it's just like, nope, this is what the song's about. And you know what this song is about, even if we're not saying the word. I feel this one goes a little bit further than that while still not saying any of the words. I'm really entertained by it. I think it has really good energy. I laugh. I think the jokes evolve as the song progresses. He's not just kind of hitting the same theme over and over again. I love that little spoken word French bit. The one says, do you have anything for me? And he's like, I got you, babe. It's the exact opposite of Adonis. I was calling him a donks.
We can't not call him a donks.
We can't not call him anymore. We talked about Adonis as basically like, he doesn't have sex, he makes love. And this is the opposite of that. This is a drunken encounter in the
this is a man handicap who stall bones.
At the club. Yeah. This man bones down.
A drunken shag, to use the mm-hmm. British.
Oh man.
Bones
down.
I get the impression that this will do kind of like Windows 95 men did. I can see this qualifying, coming in like eighth or ninth, getting to the final, and then people are like, I'm not voting for this. It's hilarious, but I'm not going to vote for it. And then it kind of comes near the bottom, which, I mean, is fine. But I enjoy it. So there's that. Danny?
I'm torn, because this is the stupidest goddamn song in the entire event this year. But there is something beguiling about it. I would like to counter the view that this song has adult themes. I think the themes in this song are 100% teenage. It's it has that level of wit to it, but there's something admirable about how doubled down on teenage sex humor it is, on how doubled down on absolutely 100% transparent double entendre there is. It's kind of like how a Mel Brooks movie just constantly is stepping over the line of good and bad taste. And by that I mean constant. Like that foot is being firmly stomped into bad taste. And then he just goes over to the other side to have lyrics about like, the milkshake is a state of mind. It's so stupid. And there is something beguilingly stupid about it. I appreciate that we have another entry into the Eurovision canon of sleazecore. We just have a man in a porn star mustache and a singlet telling us all about his goopy, delicious milkshake. Like, it's too much. Nobody told him to dial it back. And if he had dialed it back, like, then the song just kind of wouldn't halfway work for me. It's that the joke is being constantly one up. The joke is constantly being thrown in your face. It can't be stopped. I'm not in love with this song, but it has 100% improved from my first listen. At first blush, hated this song. Couldn't stop hating this song. But sometimes I'm just like, you know what? It's that special superpower I was born to find. Eric?
It's funny. I feel like there's been some information going around about how the EBU has like tried to reiterate, hey, we've gotten a bit too risque. We need to make sure this is a family show still. There's a sort of a general like tisk tisk to this point. I don't know. Besides the thing with Malta, and we're getting to that in this show. Jesus. I haven't heard about anything they're being told like, no, you need to scale that back. Or this is beyond what's reasonable. I mean, they put the video for this song on their YouTube, so it's a process, you know, it's an evolving thing.
Look,
but
he never exactly just holds the milkshake in front of his crotch or something. It's not like he's like being blasted with like white goo from a machine.
Yeah.
We don't know what the staging's going
to
be.
It's everything up to that, though.
I feel like that's not going to happen.
No.
It's a matter of tape.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I said this previously. This is second song of the year with Yum Yum in the lyrics, which is crazy.
Yeah, there's a Yum Yum. Mm.
As far as my opinion of it, I feel like I did a speed run of the love it, of the hating to liking this. First minute of the first time I heard this, I was definitely thinking just, oh God. Australia, no, why, no. And then by the end of the song, I was like, but wait, why do I, oh crap, I think I really like this. And I do. It is ridiculous. It hits the same humor points to me as like Subwoofer. I wanted to say Wolf Mother, who are Australian. No. Yeah. But that's not what's going on here. They should do Eurovision, by the way.
Ooh.
This is so bizarre, but it's bizarre in a way that works. And I talked at length about how much I hate espresso macchiato. And I, if you were to ask me what's the difference, I don't know that I could tell you. I think this song is better. I think it does more things. I think it evolves over the 3 minutes in a way that's interesting. And it doesn't just strike me as being an a-hole the way that Tommy Cash does, and that I don't know, this is more fun. It's fun, yeah, as opposed, yeah, to just being that. Just trolling. I'm not saying it's not trolling, it's a little bit of that, but I think this is that idea done well, and I feel ashamed. Sam, what say you?
I think I said in our last episode that there is a difference between being a smart song and being a clever song. This is not a smart song in any way, shape, or form. Nothing even approaching that. But it's clever. It's cheeky. And I can absolutely see, Eric, why it's difficult to parse why a song like Estonia hits me so wrong, and yet this does hit me well. It's probably because it's a lot more inviting into the stupidity and the lunacy and the weirdness instead of look how clever I'm being. It's look how silly and stupid we can all be together. And I don't know. It's just there's a positivity and a joy that radiates for this. And part of it does come from its tongue-in-cheek stupidity. But it's by the end of that first listen, I was hooked and I felt guilty. Yeah, this absolutely gives me the Sonic feeling of going to the malt shop and getting a big ass milkshake that you know for a fact is going to wreak havoc on your stomach later on. But it's just so good and it's so cold and so sweet. I'm with you, LJ, in the fact that opening the show with this is definitely going to be a risk. I feel like we haven't had a risky show opener like this since Euro Neuro, and that was a random draw.
Hell yeah.
That you're going to have people tuning in and being like, what the hell is going on? I'm going to go watch football instead, or whatever else is on at the same time. But for those of them who stick around, welcome to the party. Here are your refreshments.
LJ, out of curiosity, how do you feel about espresso macchiato in brief?
It is next one down in my bucket of hatred at the bottom of the
All right, well,
I've got six
cool.
in my bucket of hatred. Australia is just above Estonia.
Cool.
I won't tell you what's at the very bottom.
All right.
Good to know.
Actually, yeah, it's probably one that you all hate as well. I hope it is.
As for the sort of is it too mature aspect of it, part of me also remembers being a kid and not getting any of the adult jokes that were in all of the entertainment that I was watching at the time. Like, I was watching Ren and Stimpy way too young, and I didn't get any of the grown-up jokes that were very, very obviously written in there. And I look at that now, and I'm like, oh, now I see why my mom didn't want me to watch this, but my dad was laughing his ass off.
Oh, if I was eight, I'd be like, this guy really likes milkshakes. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that.
But if you were 14, you'd be loving it. In fact, I sat next to my friend's boy, who is 14. We went to see a concert on Saturday night, and I sat with him and his dad were both just being like really, really silly over how much they love this. I'm aware I'm like the only person on the continent that doesn't like it and doesn't want it in Eurovision, because Noah, 14-year-old, Eurovision, I mean, he's the next generation. We should get Noah on here. He's got a lot of exciting and good things to say about the Eurovision songs. Yeah, he loves this. He and his dad were just laughing like silly teenagers. I mean, he is a teenager, about how silly and goofy it is. So I think it's going to do well, like you say, but I don't want it to do well. I don't want it in the contest.
I totally understand. I like I said, I'm ashamed.
I always say that there's no such thing. There shouldn't be such thing as a guilty pleasure. There's just pleasure. But I can absolutely see why people would define this as one. All right. Are we ready to move?
I just want to say one thing.
Go on.
I think the thing that separates this from Estonia is that this one, number one, he's putting in real effort. he's not just screwing around. But two, it's the target of the joke. And we talked about this with Estonia. It really feels kind of mean-spirited, where this one is just silly for silly's sake. Like, there's
very
no
true, very
victim
true.
Of this song.
Yeah.
That's except all for Lisa Jane.
I mean, everybody's welcome. He even has lactose-free.
Yep.
All right. Are we ready to move on to our next song then?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, please.
All right. All right. We are going to completely change the mood here. From semifinal number two, again, we are heading over to Lithuania. Here is Katarsis with Tavolakis. Let's hear a clip. All right, that was a snippet of Tavo Akis by Katarsis from Lithuania. It's an alt-rock band from Vilnius, formed in 2020. Their first EP was released just last year. The translation means Your Eyes. Music and lyrics by their lead singer, Lukas Radzevičius. I apologize if I mispronounce that, Lukas. Again, this is song number 8 in semifinal number 2. Derek, why don't you start us off on this one? What are your thoughts on Lithuania?
Yeah, I thought I was listening to Eddie Vedder for the first 2 minutes, and then I realized, oh no, these are children, but they're young.
They are.
Eddie Vedder's like 60 or maybe older. I don't know.
He sounds the same.
I think I'm going to say this first, because they released a version of the song where they performed live in a cathedral with a choir backing them. and it was just about the coolest thing I've seen from Eurovision this year. And I thought they should be sending this version of the song because backing vocals can be pre-recorded. They don't need to fly in 200 people. I really like that this is here. I love this kind of almost grungy alternative rock moody piece of music. You know, it's nice when we don't just get pop songs or ballads and we get something kind of odd in the mix. I like that it's not drawing too much attention to itself. Like it's just, it's kind of understated in a way for a rock song. Like there's not moments where they just start blaring on the guitars and screaming, put your middle fingers up and all that. I think I suspect this will do pretty well. Lithuania seems to have a really good track record. And yeah, it. I think if this came from any other country, though, that might be a problem. I think they're going to kind of see a bit of support from name recognition alone than anything else. It's yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on this. It's not crazy coming from Australia to this. This feels very understated. But yeah, I really enjoy it. Daniel?
I really enjoy it, too. A couple preview shows ago, we talked about Portugal. We talked about how the fact that no matter where Portugal falls in the show, it'll be utterly refreshing and cool to watch it because you know that you're not going to get something that quality or that mood next or before it. And the same thing with this song. I think this song, I have more pessimism for it than you do, Derek. I think this one might go the same way as Sudden Lights did for you guys. Same, you know, it's from the cut from the same cloth and especially from the same part of Europe. I appreciate that this song has a very dour mood. It's very dark. It's very very intense in its broodingness without being pretentious or smothering. It feels very earned. I don't have too many things to say except for the fact that I think it's a coin flip on whether it goes through. This might be another am I getting this right? Ulvaham? The song from Norway that came last year that we were just like, oh, this is like nothing at the contest. It's going to stand out for everyone. And then it comes in dead last, undeserved. I can see that exact thing happening to this one. I can see this one squeaking through and then dying for no reason. Sad.
Eric?
I'm sorry to say, I am even more pessimistic about how this is going to go.
Yeah, but you love it, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. You love it, and you know it's not gonna do well.
Outstanding.
No. Yeah.
I love the sort of brooding modern rock sort of sound. Sort of like I have been trying to think of like the bands that this reminds me of ever since I heard it, and I haven't quite put my finger on it. But like the post Meteora era of Linkin Park or something like that. Kind of fits the bill a little bit, and gosh, it is just such a really good song. I agree with Derek. I'm so glad that it's here. I'm glad that it's something else. You know, I feel about this the way I felt about Sudden Lights, and I don't think this is as good of a song as what Sudden Lights did because I really think that was just top notch, and this isn't quite that, but I just think this is great. I love the sound of it. I think Europe is not going to have any idea what to do with it. I just think they're not going to get it. I don't think it gets to Saturday because it's just a little too different, and it's right in the middle of Semi 2, which is there's so much going on in Semi 2. My god, it's just going to be a really tough sell, I think. But I think Lithuania should be proud because this is just such a cool choice. It's a daring choice for a contest like this. It's a great song by a really cool band. And my hopes are unfortunately very low. And it's not their fault. It's just I don't think it's going to connect.
See, the people who love this song adore it. Mm-hmm. And we're now 4 for 4 about people on this podcast who seem to really, really like it. I'm adding my name to the chorus here. This is honest and beautiful and hypnotic. And the way it just kind of builds on itself and that sort of the vocals on it are just in it. And I don't want to say a drone, but you don't really get a major vocal powerhouse moment until the repeated tavo, 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 which by the end of it, that becomes the hook, even though it's not a traditional hook. It's not like the chorus is the big hook. It's the tavo, 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 tavo. And there's nothing like this and I love it for that. But it's also not an easy song to grab onto on a first listen, which for a public vote only semifinal is a risk. But it's so good for what it is. It's such a great addition to the contest. Again, the Lithuanian language. I love the representation here. This is an act that I look forward to seeing more from. And this absolutely hits my ear in the right spot. I hope the people who just tune in on the Saturday will have the chance to hear this and see this. And I totally agree with you that the choral cathedral version should be the one that goes, because that was freaking spectacular. Again, if you listening to this at home haven't seen that, it's from one of the, you know, Eurovision a little bit more YouTube videos that they're putting out. It's really spectacular and highly, highly recommended. I feel like I'm just repeating what the four before me have said.
Yeah.
LJ, what about you?
Well,
oh dear.
Uh-oh. I was very, 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 very sat here ready and waiting for you lot to absolutely pan this. I said I've got this bucket of six at the bottom that I absolutely hate.
Yeah.
This one couldn't be further from that. This is my current top of the leaderboard 12 pointer. I mean, like, again, for fear of like repeating what you all have said, this is very much in the Southern Lights kind of wheelhouse. This is alternative dark rock. This is in my wheelhouse, let alone anybody else's. This is absolutely the kind of thing that I will listen to for decades to come. Like, you know, I want to hear this. I want to hear this on May the 17th. I don't think I'm going to. But I want to hear this for the rest of my life, and I will. And I will continue to follow them and possibly stalk them around Europe, because I just think they are absolutely fantastic. They might need a restraining order come May, because I just think they are everything I want in an alternative rock band. Everything I look for in an upcoming alternative rock band. I think they've got big career ahead of them. I'm kind of sad for them that they're in Lithuania, because it's very hard to get out of the Lithuanian market. The furthest you can kind of go is Latvia, and that it tends to be a bit of a closed shop, even for some of Lithuania's kind of more well-known artists. Getting outside the borders of the Baltics is virtually impossible. So I hope they can find a way to do that, because the world needs to know this band. The world needs to know this band. They are absolutely stunning. I love them. I love everything about this. I think that this might come last in semi-final two, purely by the fact that it's in semi-final two. And a bit like you were saying, Eric, it's Europe. People don't know what to do with it. People don't, there's no call to pick up the phone to vote for it, even if you like it. And buried in semi-final two, which is where all the cray-cray is for this year, I think this is, I just can't see how it's going to stand out enough. I think with a jury, it might have stood out enough to be able to garner points there and be standing out for being different. But in a televote only, and we know that the semi-finals have a much smaller audience. They are people who are generally already engaged with Eurovision anyway. They're already going to know half the songs that are in here. This is, a lot of people are going to go to the loo while this is on. We'll go and put the kettle on. That makes me sound so British. Pour a drink, get a beer, whatever. I feel like this is the break song, and it shouldn't be. And I'm going to be lamenting its loss, like I'm still lamenting the loss of Southern Lights. There you go. There's my take. My 12-pointer. Thank you for including it in my show.
I still have a little bit of hope. The fact that the fact that Southern Lights came in 11th place, within spitting distance of making
just
it in,
there.
Hopefully we shall see. Are we ready to move on to song number three then?
I suppose, yeah. We can only heap so much praise.
Yeah. All right, let's up the tempo a little bit in that case, and we head over to the song that's going to be closing semifinal number one. Here comes Theo Evan and Shh from Cyprus. All right, that was Shh by Theo Evan, representing Cyprus. He's the first Cypriot-born artist to represent Cyprus at Eurovision since Hovig did it in 2017. He grew up performing and writing his own songs. He attended the Berklee College of Music in Boston, released his first single back in 2021. He was, I believe, the first artist announced this year, and yet it was one of the last songs released in the class of 2025. On the songwriting team this year is Dimitris Kontopoulos, who has contributed to about 14 other previous Eurovision entries, including hits like Shady Lady, You Are the Only One, Sugar, Liar, and of course, Pants Dance. Again, this is going to be the song that's closing semifinal number one. Danny, what do you think about it?
So there's this song that's been on top 40 radio here for a while, sort of at the bottom end of top 40, but still sticking around. It's gotten more play recently. It's by an artist called Benson Boone, called Beautiful Things, I think. It's been around for a while, over here at least. And I can't help but think of that type of song when I hear this, because they have the same, like, I don't want to be mean to Benson Boone because he's a young artist, but the simple fact is that both this song and Shh are kind of mathematically posed and balanced in order to appeal to the most kind of people in its target audience as is possible. I don't want to be a complete cynic, but I have to be when Cyprus sends this kind of thing over and over and over again. They will send an extremely photogenic person, an annoyingly photogenic person, to sing a song that is not intellectually rigorous. Sorry, there's another siren. A song that is well-produced, you know, very listenable, but there's nothing below the surface. I don't hate this song, but I don't know. There's no nutrition to this song. And I think that he sings it well, but that is becoming sort of like a canned response on this podcast or to anyone in the Eurovision community. Like, great. Yeah, you can sing it really well. But it's like, you know, as far as the landscape of pop music is concerned, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of stuff to choose from. You can have a unique voice. You should have a unique voice. But that's not what's here. And that's what's really frustrating when you encounter a lot of stuff from this contest, because a lot of people are sort of towing and going to, you know, regressing to the mean in order to appeal to the most people. And what's ironic is that that is the worst strategy. Cyprus was able to get something with Fuego because it had a lot of cool flavors to it, in addition to being sung very well. But Cyprus, in chasing that same dream for so many years, is not finding anything unique. Is not finding that special thing that is going to stick out. It's going to find stuff that qualifies. It's going to find stuff that people can listen to and maybe keep coming back to on the Eurovision playlist or the Eurovision album that they release. But this isn't a winning song. And it's just sort of annoying that it's the same thing that you can expect from Cyprus for the past 8 years.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I remember, yeah, but that's the best thing you can do, right? I kind of like it.
Okay, so I remember listening to it when it came out and thinking like, eh, all right, sure. That's about what we expected. And I think that's kind of what Danny was saying. I listened to it again this afternoon before we started recording. And I remember thinking, oh, this isn't bad, actually. This is pretty catchy. Like, I kind of dig this. I have a hard time getting super excited about it, but I think it's pretty good. I'm not disagreeing with Danny necessarily. Like, yeah, this is Cyprusing. Like, I get it, but I think it's good. I'm really intrigued to see what's happening with the staging. Now, there within the last, like, week, I think there have been, like, a half a dozen artists that have spoken up or alluded to things in their stagings that, like, oh, we're doing something that's never been done before. And we're doing something, you know, that's really going to amaze people and things like that. I'm sure a couple of them are lying or are just overselling it a lot. But Cyprus, they're going last in this semi. They're closing the show. And I wasn't expecting that. I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting that. And that makes me think they have something big. Like, they have a showstopper sort of something. And we don't know. And we won't know for another month and a half. But I find their placement in the running order fascinating, and I'm really wondering if we might be underestimating this just based on that fact alone.
See, I was thinking sort of similarly that, you know, again, right now they are talking a bit of a big game in terms of what they're bringing to the table. And we know Kontopolis has some really fascinating and really, really breakthrough stagings in his past catalog, in his past repertoire. Again, I bring up Pants Dance. The song at this point doesn't do a ton for me. It's just sort of constantly fast and just constantly, it feels kind of one gear to me. However, it's a very energetic and engaging gear. It's just, I need a moment to take a breath. The thing that interests me about this, and I'm not sure if this is something that's going to be linking into the staging, is the fact that the questions posed in the lyrics of who am I, and this sort of riddle of, you know, the mystery and the intrigue of the narrator of the song. But is that something that's going to be played out on the actual stage? So the song kind of just, for me, it's fine. It's there. There's nothing particularly wrong with it, but it doesn't immediately grab me, but I'm very intrigued by it. I'm very excited to see what we're going to have next month. But as a studio track, it's unfortunately in a situation where they selected an artist and announced an artist very, very early on with a unique vocal quality at the time that it was selected. And now there are many, many other artists with similar vocal qualities, a sort of high range tenor or countertenor voice. And now he's going to be going up against, more apples to compare the apples to. So it's really going to have to stand out. However, with that running order, they might be. So I put this personal mid-table, but jury is out on how it can actually do. Lisa Jane?
Yeah, so I have this like group of six at the bottom, which I've been calling my bucket of six, and then Derek renamed my bucket of sick, which is probably quite appropriate for all the ones that are in there. So I've got these six at the bottom. I've got 12 at the top that I really, really love. And everything else in the middle you could put them in any order. It's just a melee of songs that I'm just like, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. Like, whatever. Like, I don't care about it, but I don't hate it. It's not, I don't mind if I hear it again from May 18th onwards, but this is in that group. So it's hard to kind of say anything. I've got nothing negative to say about it, but I can't jump on board and infuse about it and say how brilliant it is as a song, because it's just a song. But having now written and made my own EP and put my own stuff out there, I can sort of appreciate even the songs that I don't particularly care for. I can appreciate the sheer bloody work that goes into getting just one song out, let alone six. So I can appreciate the work that's gone into it. Maybe that's fair to say. But yeah, just where it sits for me is just in this big group of songs in the middle that are like, yeah, that's fine. No, whatever. Staging wise, have you picked up on who's the creative director for this?
It's Sergio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Sergio who did Bambi last year. Sergio also, as I said, is a friend of mine. So it's very hard to kind of say anything, really.
You have information that you have to withhold, don't you?
No, I don't. No, I not about this one. I really don't. It's an interesting place in the position. I wouldn't have put it there unless there was a reason to. Let's say that I wouldn't have finished. I wouldn't have closed semifinal two with this unless I had a real reason to. So that speaks of one of two things: either a really killer staging creative concept or a overall show director who doesn't understand running orders. Take your pick.
Or maybe just a prop that is so freakishly large and unwieldy that they have to put it at the end.
Maybe. I genuinely don't know about this one. I've had a chat with Sergio about it, but I don't really know his concept on this one.
Okay. I'm not trying to
fish. It'll be harder when we come to one of the others not to say anything. No. There's another one that it would be harder to not say anything on that's coming up later in the show.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Like that's my assessment of this song. It's fine. And the last thing you want to be at Eurovision is fine. But it's fine.
Derek?
Yeah, I noticed the stage director was Bambi Thugs too, and that they're also doing Finland and Austria as well. So expecting big things from all three of them.
Yes.
Oh, this one. The first time I heard it, I was kind of impressed. Feels more modern than some of the other Kantopoulos songs that we've gotten as of late. At the same time, though, ultimately, it's a Eurovision pop song. It fits that mold very specifically. It has that structure, the kind of lyrics, the kind of singing. I'm sure there'll be dancing involved and pyro and all that stuff. I mean,
from Cyprus?
From Cyprus, that's what they do. I feel like Cyprus is doing that Fuego thing again, where it's sort of like, we're going to send the same thing again next year and hope for as good, if only slightly less result. And yeah, I can't really fault it because it's well constructed. It's well sung. It's not doing anything particularly interesting, though, that enough for me to like move it up into the upper echelons of like my rankings. Not that it matters, but I can't help but listen to this and think, yep, that's a Eurovision song. And what else you got? And coming off of Lithuania, I'm just like, this is what you can do. And this is going to get underappreciated. Whereas I feel like Cyprus has a pretty good chance of qualifying. And who cares? I don't hate it. It's fine. But I'm kind of ready for new things. So not much else to say on that.
Good.
Danny started.
Good.
Oh, I was like trying to like think of. All right. I mean, have we all said our piece on Cyprus then? All right. We will see what they serve up, because frankly, expectations are high, but excited to see. Speaking of what they're serving up, next up is Malta, a song that has not been discussed much on this podcast or in the Eurovision sphere at all this cycle, has it? Anyway, here's Mariana Conte as serving. Here's a clip. Here's the secret. All right, that was a snippet of Serving by Malta's Mariana Conte. We've gone over the background of this episode or this song before. We've devoted an entire episode to the linguistic intricacies involved and the challenges involved with that. We now know the song is just called Serving. There's been an edit. There's been a change. She is 24 years old. She's been taking part in Maltese national finals and associated talent shows basically every year since 2017. So that is going to be song number 9 in semifinal 2. Eric, what do you think about Malta this year?
You know, this is so weird because we've talked about this song so much, you know, but we haven't talked a lot about what we actually think of the song. We've been kind of waiting for that part of it because we do these preview shows, right?
So for like, this very moment.
For this very moment. I like it. I think it's funny. I think it is cheekier than a room full of butts. Sorry, that was off the cuff.
Reaching there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this is kind of the meme of the year somehow in a year that has a good number of them. But it's just been so discussed. I don't know what to add. I think it's clever. I cannot wait for 10,000 people to fill in the blank. I think it happens 6 times in the song total. So this is like eat your salad times 6 in terms of what's going to happen with this. So their anti-Kant technology is going to have to really be on point and ready as this song goes along. This is right after Lithuania. Oh my god. poor Lithuania. Let's talk about that song some more. I really think that one, you know, it's serving. It really is. It is serving extraordinarily. I'm excited to see it on stage. I hope that the exercise balls make an appearance. They better, honestly. Like I think there's a failure in execution if they're not. But as far as the song goes, I mean it does exactly what it wants to do. And yeah. I'm excited to hear what everyone else thinks, so I will move along and see what Sam thinks.
After so many years of Malta sending a whole bunch of different kinds of songs and ending up with absolute crap in results in terms of the voting results, it's nice to see them throwing caution to the wind and taking a moment to be risky and petulant and you know what? Yeah. Yeah, you know, thumbing their nose at the rules and just So, you know what? We've played the nice card. We're going to, you know, flip some tables and see what happens with that. And they're very much taking a lot of the oxygen in the room, and it's working for them. And luckily, it's not with a bad song. The song is, it is exactly what you expect. It is fluff. It is fun. It is positive. It is uplifting. It is every single song that I see on lip sync performances at RuPaul's Drag Race. It is, but that is exactly the audience and the vibe that they're going for. So I can't fault them for that. Is it what I personally listen to? No, that's fine. Trust me, if we listen to exactly the stuff that I wanted to listen to at Eurovision, I don't think anybody else would watch the show. That's okay. I am just so happy to see Malta, I don't want to say having the wind back in its sails, but forcing the wind into their sails and playing the game in such a way that it is impossible to ignore them this year. And my God, I hope it works, because I love seeing the Maltese in the national grand final. I know how much it means to the country. And I know how heartbreaking it's been for the Maltese over the last couple of years to not make it into the grand final. And you know what? If you're going to swing for the fences, be bombastic and be fearless and be silly. I am also afraid to say anything negative about this song now that I have knowledge that the Maltese delegation has been listening and have been taking clips of people talking about the song and putting it into their music video.
It's true.
So I do genuinely enjoy it. It's fun, and I hope to see it on Saturday. LJ?
Okay, I'm going to start with that point. I don't care if the Maltese broadcast it, anything I have to say. I think the fact that they did that and didn't tell people is actually possibly the most wrong thing about this.
Yeah, I can
get over the linguistic gymnastics we've actually had to do, but the fact that they've taken content creators, used their content, and not even asked permission or given advance warning, I think that is a black stain on the Maltese broadcaster, as far as I'm concerned. You don't do that. If somebody did that with their content, they would be all over them. And so I find that the most offensive thing about this song, actually, what they did with that video. I don't like this song. It's in my bottom six, although it's on the top of my bottom six. So, you know, maybe it might just squeak up into the songs that I don't really care about, and just sort of sit in the middle group. I don't like it. I think it's a bit something and nothing. They've had their controversy out of it, which is what they wanted. Good for them. I do somewhat agree with you, Sam. It's nice to see Malta actually giving a toss, because they seemingly haven't done for a while, and their national final last year was absolutely terrible. At least they actually put a national final on this year. I didn't like the performance of this in the national final. I thought it was messy. I liked the space hopper exercise balls. I do think that was good, but it just sort of got lost in the mess of everything else, the costume change and the different color and the this and then that. And then I didn't quite know where it was. The audience are going to fill in the gaps fine. I kind of wish that it actually was a drag queen singing it, because it feels a bit culturally appropriated for a young woman who wants to be seen as one of the cool drag queen fans, doing the whole serving, just using the language of RuPaul's Drag Race, which isn't necessarily the language of the global drag community, but it is of the RuPaul strain of... I don't know what I'm saying. I wish this was a drag queen and not a 24-year-old artist who I've come really not to care for too much over quite a lot of the interviews that she did when she was talking about the song and saying, well, it's just about singing. And that to me is just disingenuous. I find her a bit fake. I'm not that interested in interviewing her, because I'm too old and I've been doing this for too long to want to try and scab every interview I possibly can. So I'm sorry, I have really nothing good to say about this song. It's a bombastic, I mean, it's not okay, it's not a bad song, it's bombastic, it does what it needs to do, but it's in my bucket of songs I don't want to hear from May the 18th onwards. Sadly, I think it's one that I will be hearing probably for the rest of my life at Eurovision, but I don't care for it. That's it, done. Sorry, Danny.
So as a boring ass white man, I wasn't familiar with this expression, so I had to go and look it up on Urban Dictionary. And for those of you in the audience who don't know what serving C means, it's just something that girls named Lily do. I hope
thanks, Urban Dictionary.
What do I think about this one? I think my initial reaction to this when we first heard it, when it was in the national final but hadn't won yet, was this song is terrible.
Derek, I want to say you called it an affront to music or something to that effect.
I did not call it that.
I think it was something like that.
I listened to that episode back because we were trying to find out if we were in the music video. I just said it was terrible. I said I didn't like it. I think
I might be thinking of something else. I don't know.
Yeah, I might have. I probably have used that phrase before. I don't think it's that bad. I get a lot of Jimmycast vibes from it. Kind of like a lot of attitude. This young woman with this big voice singing. I think she's pretty good. Live version was fine. Yeah, I think the whole thing kind of hinges on them being borderline profane. And that's getting them a lot of attention. And I think that's good. I think it's awful that they've come last now that they've lost the juries in the semis. And it seems kind of hopeless for them to get out of the semis otherwise. So someone somewhere said, we got to do something crazy. Like, we need to really go big on this somehow to get attention, because this isn't working otherwise. And they did. And this is what we got. And it's got a ton of attitude. It's got a lot of style. I think the song itself is fine, barring that phrase. But I mean, if this is what gets them into Saturday, then I hope it opens some doors for them, certainly. I don't want to just rob them of the opportunity to ever go to the final again just because they're not, you know, popular. One of the popular kids. Anyway, Danny?
Whelmed. I feel like this... I can agree with basically everyone here. I'm just going to enunciate specifically that my feeling is that this song is sort of postured to be sort of like the... I don't know. It's postured to needle at the EBU higher-ups in a very obvious way. In a way that is... I don't know, sort of self-empowering, but also sort of that self-empowering idea is belittled by the fact that this is just a popular mimetic phrase. I wouldn't quite go so far as to say that it is like an appropriation of ball culture or drag culture, since I think that this phrase has sort of crossed over, especially since everyone has Twitter. I think that it's vulgar in a way that is just sort of postured to get a reaction. I think that it is a very handy way to make this song popular and memorable. And I have to sort of sing praises for the fact that this song's lyrics make sense and they fit. I don't know. There's just sort of like an effortless slide to the way she... what's the lyric? The lyric is like, why should... God damn it. Cut this so that I can look this up. But
why should we let other people decide when we should be having the time of our lives or something?
That's exactly it. That just slides perfectly. It scans with the rhythm of the song and it makes... It's almost bizarre how that's just sort of the way that you would say it outside of a song. And it works in the song so well. That's just a moment that I really, really like. There's moments in this song that I like, but it's like, this is not the sort of song for me, ironically enough. I just think that it's too postured. It's too much of an obvious poking of the dragon instead of anything sort of that came about diegetically. There's not a lot else to this song. It doesn't really have to be. I'm not offended by the quality of this song. I'm not offended by basically anything in this song. I think that it's a fun little effort, but it's a deeply unserious song, you know. And I don't know, if I was ranking things, I think deeply unserious songs just don't make that high for me.
All right. Have we spoken our piece on Malta then?
On Malta.
Malta.
They really are the tiny little island that could in this whole contest. I am glad to see that they'll advance. This is a song that'll advance. Love to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is definitely qualifying.
Yeah.
There's no Malta definitely on Saturday.
This is not a high art competition, so she's good.
No,
it'll be fine. All right, let's again shift up the tempo completely as we head to our defending champions, a automatic qualifier to the grand final. Here is Zoe May, or Zoe Me, Zoe May. They're umlaut, so I can't even tell.
Zoe M.
With Voyage, representing Switzerland. Avec toi. right. So that is Switzerland's entry this year, Voyage by Zoe Mee, or as I like to think of her, we've had Nemo, we've had Remo, it's Zoe Mimo. 24 years old, born in Basel originally, grew up elsewhere in Switzerland, but originally from Basel, winner of a number of Swiss music awards, including ones that had been previously won by Eurovision alumni Nemo and Marius Baer, singing primarily in French and German. This is going to be song number 19 in the grand final, and it looks like it's my turn to start us off. I find this sweet and refreshing and wistful, and coffee house is the word that I tend to use for entries like this, in terms of it's not a song that is made for heart-stopping impact or to get you on the dance floor. It is just, it is there for sweetness and vibes and comfort and coziness. And I kind of love it when I think I mentioned this when the song was originally released. I love it when a host nation kind of takes their foot off the gas just a little bit and doesn't play to, I don't want to say they're not playing to win. That's an unfair thing. Their priorities change. Instead of sending something that is meant to gather a massive amount of high energy and enthusiasm, it's just, this is a representation of an artist that we are proud to present on the home stage. I felt this way about the Megmakes. I felt this way about Ujardin. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they end up doing well in the overall contest, but it's quality and it's beautiful and it's sweet and it's honest and it's a little heartbreaking. And it just, it's nice to have this moment to just breathe and enjoy music at its purest. And that's kind of where I kind of am with this. Whether I'm going to actually pick up the phone and vote for it, I don't know. But I'm so thrilled that it's part of the landscape this year. Lise Jean?
Yeah, I'm probably in a similar camp to you. This is, again, one of those ones that's just in that nice group of middle songs that I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Like, it doesn't really do anything for me. It's not really in my wheelhouse, but I can't say anything bad about it because it's a nice song and sung very well, delivered very well. It very much had a bit of a Makemakes kind of vibe. I mean, not the song, it isn't like the Makemakes, but the trajectory that I see it going on is similar to the Makemakes, although they got 0 points and came absolutely last in their home country. So whether this will do that badly or not, but I can't see this finishing out of the 20s, I'm afraid. This is just on the bottom because it's not really that votable. Having said that, the young man who I referenced earlier, my friend's son, Noah, who's 14, this is his 12-pointer. He absolutely loves it. So I guess that was my reaction when he told me his 12 points at the moment was to Switzerland. I was like, really? Okay. As I say every year on my own radio show and have it as a banner on my Facebook, not every song is for everybody, but every year, every song finds its people. This will find its people. I'm just not its people. I think that's fair to say.
Derek.
And Kat.
Michael.
I actually quite like this one. I think it's, coffee house folk music. I appreciate that it's very low-key, very chill. It's not, they're giving a chance to showcase a local artist. She's from Basel, rather than trying to get like two wins in a row or just blow everyone away. It's like, okay, we're just going to do something artsy and understated and just kind of go with that. And I appreciate that. I think the thing that kind of surprised me is when I look up the lyrics, it's the song feels a lot darker than I think you might get the impression of. But she says lines like, you throw words at me and choke me, no matter what, I'll lie next to you tonight. One day you'll understand flowers are more beautiful when you water them. You've cut me so many times. If you want, I'll go with you on a journey.
Ooh.
I don't have enough context to really understand what this relationship is, and just from that it sounds somewhat abusive, or at least hurtful in a way. And I can't tell if that's the intention, if she's a victim of someone who's emotionally manipulative and cruel, or they just have a relationship that's volatile and has its ups and downs, and she's taking poetic license with that. I'm kind of curious how they're going to stage it, and I'm guessing it's going to be very simple staging, her and a guitar and stuff like that. But yeah, my takeaway from this is I want to know more about this, and I'm a little frustrated that there isn't more in the song that would allow me to kind of piece this together myself. And just kind of listening to it, yeah, it's very pleasant. I wouldn't think anything of it. But yeah, when I dig into it, it's like, okay, wait, there's something else going on here. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with that necessarily, or if that's what is intentional. Danny?
I find this song boring. I think it's gloopy. I think it's very sentimental sounding. I think it sounds like it belongs in a Disney movie. It's not for me. It's just not for me. I don't know. I don't know if I could say more. I don't know if I could say more. This song is so. It is just the type of song that I skip every time. I don't like it. I don't hate it, but I don't want to listen to it. It's so background music. It's the kind of thing where literally, if I were to listen to it when it came on in a coffee house, if it were to come on in the overheads when I'm waiting to get coffee, I think I'd grimace and turn to my friend and go, "What the hell am I listening to?" This has been your requisite one quota per episode, Danny. Needlessly mean hot take. Eric, take it.
I think it's nice. I think it's a nice song, and I have a hard time describing it more than that. I like her voice a lot. I think that it's sort of a little bit airy, like Billie Eilish, something like that. It's a little more dynamic than a Billie Eilish song. It has its ups and downs and things like that. You know, I wonder, gosh, staging on this is, I don't know. How do you make this pop? How do you give it a call to action, I guess? And I think the lyrics being surprisingly dark is really interesting. But if you try to convey that visually, I don't know. It's a bit of a puzzle to me. How do you present this exactly? I kind of agree. I think that, you know, this is already in the final, so it doesn't really matter where it finishes. But like, I have a hard time seeing this outside of like the bottom five. And that's nothing against it. Like, I don't mind it at all. It's just sort of. It's a hard song. Danny, you coined this a year or two ago, and I think about it a ton still. Is
what is it?
Is you have a song that people want, that people feel good to vote for.
Yeah.
And that's such a big motivator. And I don't see that a lot with this one. It'll get a few jury points, I think. But I think I think televote's going to be tough. But it's nice.
Are we ready to move on to our last song of the show then?
Oh, I cannot wait for this
All
one.
All right.
Oh my God.
Luckily, it's just right over the border, so it's not that long of a distance. But let's talk about one of this year's potential favorites. Let's head over to Austria and talk about JJ and Wasted Love. Let's hear a clip. All right, that was a snippet of Wasted Love by JJ. He's 24 years old, or at least he will be by the time he gets to Basel, an alum of The Voice in the UK, and also a finalist on the show Starmania in Austria, you know, your standard idol-type talent show, a countertenor in the Vienna State Opera. The song was co-written by JJ himself and Teodora Spirić, better known as Teja, as in Teja and Selena. This is going to be in semifinal number 2, song number 6. LJ, as our honored guest, you get our first crack at our last song. What do you think about this one, JJ and Wasted Love?
Well, this is kind of an interesting one for me. So I've been on Austria's panel for quite some years on their internal selection panel, and trying to figure out who's going to do best at Eurovision for ORF, Austria. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it. This was not the one that I had on my list. I felt, and it's very different. Every country that does internal selections, I'm sure some of you have been on the panels as well. Like, they're all really, really different in the way that they do them. So it's not like one size fits all. The way that we tackled it in Ireland is very different to the way that ORF tackle it, which is very different to the way Bulgaria tackled it. Everyone kind of does it in their own way. So in Austria, it's a very sparse kind of performance that the final, we only had 8 actually in the thing this year, as opposed to, I think there was 16 last year. I think it was only 8 that we got to kind of see this year. They sort of whittled them down. But the performance thing was the same thing. It's basically, imagine like a church hall with, you know, those like wheelie panels on, like big panels on wheels that you just wheel in to separate the like toddler's club from the bridge club or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how they do that in churches in America, but that's kind of how they do it here. So there's just like a three of those in the back and a fixed point camera, and they're just told, like, go. I did an interview with one of the guys from last year's Austria selection just to talk about the experience of doing it. And he was like, yeah, literally it's that. They kind of bring you in. You're there for 15 minutes. You get two takes. You get to pick the best one. And that's the one that goes forward to the panel, people like me. So, yeah, that was cray cray. So this really, for me, just didn't stand out as anything original and different when I heard it. And then when it was kind of released and the world was told that it was JJ and Wasted Love, and suddenly everyone was like, this is amazing. This is genius. Austria are winning. I think that they are on top of the betting odds currently. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm allowed a duff one every 10 years to not call one. Because there's no way I would have called that and had that as the reaction to it. Again, it is Sergio who's doing the staging on this one. I probably should say no more about that because I have spoken with Sergio a little bit about this one. So, because he knows I've been on the panel and I
yeah. will not pressure you. I do not.
I'm really, really, really.
I don't want to get you in any kind of trouble.
I will. Tell me more. Tell.
No. I really am really, really interested to see how this one pans out, because this is everything I know about it is not anything that I would have done to it, but it's intriguing me, and I like the direction that Sergio is going with it. Let's put it that way. So for me, it is in the group of songs that I'm like, yeah, this is okay, this is fine, but I know that it might get elevated once I see the full staging thing. Sorry. That's about as much as I can say on that one. Go ahead. Who's next? Derek.
I'm kind of conflicted on this one. I think vocally, it's really, really impressive. From a production standpoint, it's very good. I get hung up on the fact that the lyrics are very thin. And the narrative of the song seems to be, I have all this love for you, and you don't love me back, so my love is wasted. And I understand the sentiment, but for some reason, when I read the lyrics, it comes across as a bit petty and maybe a little immature, sort of spiteful. Like it seems like something you'd say internally. It's not something you'd say to the person unless you're like trying to hurt them. Like there's an anger to that. I mean, imagine you were with your partner and they just weren't reciprocating. And you just yelled at them, all this love I have is wasted on you. That's the impression I get from this. And I don't think that's what they're going for, but that's just how it reads. Especially that opening line, I'm an ocean of love and you're scared of water. It just, it's like something an incel would say. Like I have a lot of love to give and you just don't want it. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
You owe me.
Oh, God.
I'm like, to be fair, the incels have never had their song at Eurovision, have they?
No, they have. Now
what are you talking about? Parg is in the contest this year.
Oh.
Speaking of boning down.
We've come full circle.
I get kind of hung up on that. I don't think that's what he means to say, but that's just how it sounds to me when I listen to it. The second thing I get hung up on is the fact that this is meant to be a really sad, angry kind of song. Like if I just take it for as it is, he's sort of emotionally devastated and he's doing this big operatic number, just blowing his emotions out there. Just, oh my God, the world sucks because no one loves me. And then there's a dance breakdown at the end. And I get it. It's really cool in the trajectory of the song, but I'm like, I don't know what this is doing here. I don't know how this fits in the narrative. I don't know what message I'm supposed to take away from this. Like, yeah, you feel really bad that you're living in this unrequited love situation. Now watch me hit the dance floor. It just doesn't seem right. There's an incongruity there that I can't get over. And again, if he sings like this live, Christ, that is phenomenal. And if you have no idea what the song is about, man, it is really, really cool. I could see why people would think this would win, but there's the hurdles I just can't get over. Danny.
The hurdles for me more have to do with the construction of the song. I'm glad that you pointed out the lyrics, because the lyrics I don't pay any attention to. There's nothing there. There's nothing there, really. Just sort of feels like the sort of stuff you might encounter in any other kind of sad love song. It feels like everything in this song is sort of really hinging on the fact that the vocals are operatic. And I would find that really cool and really interesting if we didn't have that as our winner last year with a song that in every respect was incredible, did show its artistry in like that it's the term that I use every time, that holistically worked. Every single part contributed to it. This one is just feel like we're using the crutch of his vocals to prop up the rest of the song. I also think that the dance break at the end is stupid. It doesn't work like it does in Kiss Kiss Goodbye. Can I just ask, the floor is open to everyone here, why do you guys keep comparing this song to Cyprus? These two songs feel completely different. Is it just that the vocals are high and there is a dance portion?
It might be.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah.
All right. They seem nothing alike to me. And I don't know. I sort of actively dislike this song just because of the operatic vocals. But I think also it has to do with the fact that this is so high in the betting odds. And when I watch countdown videos on YouTube of like follower vote counts of who they would give their points to, Austria is always top three. I have no idea why. I have no idea why. It feels dumb. People aren't using their brains when they're listening to this song. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I actively do not want it to win, Eric.
Well, I feel like the biggest song that could be holding this one back is The Code, a song that's not even in this year's contest.
Yeah. Well, it will undoubtedly be performed.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think if some people are like, okay, well, this is like Nemo, then they're just not going to vote for it. If people decide they don't care about that,
yes.
Sky's the limit. All right, this is nuts. I admit to not quite getting The Code when I first heard it. I hated the rap break, and a big part of it for me was just I thought there's no way that they can make this work, and I was wrong about that. And I don't know if I'm just afraid of being wrong about it again or what, but I feel like if they've got a really good staging for this, particularly if that when it hits the high note and then goes in, you know, the beat drops. I don't even know that I would call it a dance break necessarily. I think it's just a point where the song elevates. If they can turn that into an iconic moment, I don't know that what happened last year matters. I really think it could win, especially in a year like this where there's nothing that's very clearly standing out. I would say this was one of the very few songs I heard where in the first time I heard it, it just made me think like, oh, whoa, like that's interesting. Austria has entered the chat, as it were. But staging is a question. I know that this is a professional. I'm not super worried about live vocals on this, but holy crap. This has the potential to be all-time male vocal at the contest. The bar of that for me is like Sam Ryder and it's Ugyen Büszpépa. And like this really could be at that level. It almost kind of has to be at that level. Like just God, I think this has the potential to be extraordinary, and we'll just have to see. Personally, I also just really, really like it. I like the way it builds that moment where the beat hits and there's the dolphin sound vocal and I'm curious how that goes live, because obviously that's a processed effect, but I think it's really cool and I think it fits really well with what's happening in the song as it happens. But like, you can't sing it that way, so what do they just play a recording of it? They probably could, but I don't know. I'm not sure how they go with that in particular. That's a big question that I have, because that's the moment, that's the recap, that's the thing in the song that makes this a winner, if it makes it a winner. And so I like it a lot and I'm very intrigued. Sam, take us home. Watch Sam be like, it sucks. Next.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just before you say anything, Sam, I'll tell you what I do love about potentially Austria winning And that is that they hosted the 60th anniversary and then they would get to host the 70th anniversary as well. I sort of like that bit of jeopardy on it.
That's true. That's true. I do like that.
Gotta vote for it
now. Then we have to pay for Vienna.
Vienna's not that expensive.
It's better than some of the other places we've been.
Vienna, compared to Switzerland, compared to Sweden. Vienna is a very reasonable city. It's a lovely city. It is a wonderful host city. I look at this song and I think about, again, it's very difficult to separate the song from Nemo last year. I feel like they took Nemo and cranked up the vocals to 11 and then cranked down the complexity of the song itself. There's still complexity, but it's not like the 18 different genres. It's just two. And there's an imbalance that is grating on me. I can never, ever, ever fault the vocal prowess of JJ. Like, what JJ is able to do is incredible. It is a rare skill that deserves respect, that deserves, you know, a long career in whatever he decides to do. I wish him well. But this song leaves me cold. It, to me, it feels, the word that I keep coming back to, both lyrically and then the way that the vocals blend into the lyrics, it's just maudlin.
It's too much.
It's not whiny, but maudlin. And it just keeps me from getting fully engaged. I also fully recognize that almost every year there is a song that completely washes over me in the previews in this time of year. And it's just sort of like, okay, that's there. It doesn't hit me. And then when I see it live, I see the whole package come together and I get it. It hits. Generally, those songs tend to be coming from Lithuania, now that I think about it. Tuto Tuto, I completely was like, eh. And then I saw it live. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I love that that's just Tuto Tuto.
It's Tuto.
Does anyone know what that song's actually called? I don't.
It's Stay by Monica Linkitip.
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, one person knows.
If you can't handle me at my Tuto, you don't deserve me at my Tuto. And, but I fully expect to get to Basel, see it all together, and see the staging and hear it live and be like, okay, yes, I get it now. But from right now, where we're having this conversation, it feels overwrought and maudlin. And it keeps me from getting fully engaged. I don't enjoy listening to this in its current state. And that's a really hard thing for me to say for something that I clinically know is impeccably sung by an incredibly talented artist. It just doesn't do anything for me at this point. So fast forward a month and change and we'll see. But at this point, meh. So have we all spoken our piece on Austria?
Eric, you called it. She thinks it sucks.
I didn't say it sucks.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't say it sucks.
What do you think, the Austrians are going to come after you?
Oh, God.
No, let's not go there.
Let's
not think about that.
Yeah. No, because, I mean, like I said, if they host, I will be thrilled.
Go back to that Turkish cafe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. I hope that. Yeah. There was a 24-hour Turkish bakery within walking distance of the Wiener Stadthalle, of the arena. Oh, man. Anyway, LJ, as I'm sure you might remember, we like to end our episodes with a bit of a wrap up. We'll start low, we end high. What was your least favorite? I know you had a couple that you weren't thrilled about, but what was your least favorite of this episode?
Easy question, Australia.
Derek?
Cyprus.
Danny?
Austria.
Eric?
This is tough. Probably Cyprus.
And for me, it's Austria, but it's a harder decision than it has been in other weeks.
Oh yeah, that was a clear loser.
All right, LJ, let's end this on a high note. What was your favorite of the week? And I think I know what it is, but just for formality's sake.
Yeah, right. You've got my 12-pointer in here, so it is the joyousness of the darkness that is the alternative rock from Lithuania. Long may they have a very successful career, no matter what happens in a few weeks' time in Basel. Love them.
Derek?
Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Danny?
Lithuania.
Eric?
This is also tough, but I'm going to say Austria.
Ooh.
And for me, even though Lithuania is very close, I'm going to have to give it to Australia.
Yes!
What is going on?
Best episode ever.
The thing is, I can see it.
What happened? Oh, we've been waiting. This is our fourth of these. And we haven't had a moment of this, level of discord.
Not even close.
Dissent.
Each this of the is... last two, the top and the bottom, were the same for everyone. Wow. You saved us by hating Milkshake Man. Thanks. We couldn't have done it without you.
That is my purpose in life, is hate Milkshake Man.
You know, if we all like the same stuff, this contest would be incredibly boring. This podcast would be incredibly boring. LJ, before we say goodnight, you know, how can people follow your opinions, your music, where can people hear your stuff and follow you?
The best place to connect with me is on Instagram, which my handle is Lisa Jane with a Y _77. That's the best place to get hold of me. But if you Google any of the bands I work with, you'll find me somewhere in the music world. In the dungeons of the music world.
And your music career will be Lady Bird, is that correct? Or is it Lady Bird Music?
Yeah, so you can find me on Spotify, iTunes, all the streaming platforms. I sound like such a music wanker. Am I allowed to say that? That's so what it is. My music is on all the music platforms, iTunes, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Spotify, it's all out there. My artist name is Lady Bird. You can also find me on Instagram, ladybird_musica, as in Italian for music. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for being with us. We can't wait to see you in person in Basel. We'll be hanging out, of course. Hopefully we'll actually be able to sit at the same table as we always do.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. You at home, let us know, how far off the mark do you think that we are? Again, find us on all the social media outlets, 12 Points USA, or just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, especially after crazy episodes like this one. We will catch you next week. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And I've been Lisa Jane.
And America.
Stop
listening.
Now.